Station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 26th of May, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It's a sports Friday. Eric Sawyer is on his way in. I'm being easy with him this morning. I know that he has a couple more weeks of mourning. Couple more weeks of mourning because of the tragic, unbelievable, blazing journey of the Lakers straight from the bottom to the top and back down to the bottom again. But I tell you what, it was an awesome journey because at one point the Lakers were 14 out of 15 in the Western Conference. And for them to make it to the conference finals is a tremendous feat, a tremendous feat. But Mr. Sawyer is on his way. So let's start with our sand dollar giveaway for the day. We're starting with our sand dollar giveaway for the day. Producer, are you ready to take down this information? Sand dollar and Central Bank Sand Dollar Adoption Unit, they're giving away $30 to two winners every day. Today we've got one trivia. Yesterday we covered a part of today's trivia. Here's what you need to do to win. You need to have an enabled Sand Dollar wallet. You need to call in and get the answer correct. You will give the producer your name, your cell phone number, your wallet provider, like the name of the company that you use, and your Sand Dollar wallet address. Your Sand Dollar wallet address, not your email address, just Sand Dollar wallet address. And so I'm going to throw out the question right away. The question for today is, what are the national animals of the Bahamas? What are the national animals of the Bahamas? All right, to all of the texters and callers from yesterday who have not received their sand dollars yet, a number of the users, of the players who won yesterday, in fact, the vast majority of you, did not send me your sand dollar wallet address. You didn't send me the information we requested to play the game. So the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit is contacting each player to determine whether they have a wallet, what their Sand Dollar wallet address is, and then they're going to forward the information back to me, and I will send you your money. The Sand Dollar Adoption Unit is facilitating those winners from yesterday and the days prior who didn't have wallets to set up wallets to receive the $30. But I've told you all over and over again, the competition is for people who have their wallets enabled. And every day, we're going to tell you how to enable your wallet. You're going to go to the Google Play Store or the App Store. You're going to search one of the seven wallet providers, or you're just going to say Bahamas Digital Wallet Provider. And then you're going to choose between Omni, Canoe, Mobile Assist, SunCash, MoneyMax, Cash and Go, and Island Pay. That's seven, right? Seven. And then you're going to follow their instructions to enable your wallet. You're going to follow their instructions to enable your wallet. All right, I got somebody on the phone line already giving the producer their info. The question is, what are the national animals of the Bahamas? well, waiting on that caller. And got some more interesting news to start the show. Guys, this Monday, we are painting Bay Street black, gold, and aquamarine. And I can be honest with y'all, I think this is figuratively and not literally. We're introducing the Ultimate Bahamian Street Festival, 50th on Bay. When? Monday, May the 29th. Time? 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Where? Between Charlotte Street and East Street. What to expect? Chef demonstrations, live entertainment and Bahamian music, giveaways and prizes, kids' cultural zone, face painting, storytelling, special games, sip and paint. Dear adults, I bet you they can be playing jacks and hopscotch and Red Rover and rounders in the kids' cultural center. Storm the place, tell them big children won't play too. Bahamian food, beverage and products will also be on sale. First 500 guests to receive a commemorative independence gift. First 500 guests to receive a commemorative independence gift. Producers, the caller ready to answer the question? When they're ready, you could hit, make the board red. Good morning, caller. You ready to answer the question?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm ready for you.
Yes. Okay, so the national animal of
yes.
the Bahamas.
Yes.
Okay, the pink flamingo, which is the national bird, and the blue marlin, which is the national fish.
Absolutely. You are a winner. I just want to know,
thank
though,
you.
Why you had to say pink flamingo? So you telling me Mingo, the blue flamingo from UB, don't count?
Listen, you. the mingo from UB, isn't it a dog?
No, ma'am, it's a flamingo. What happened? It's run very fast. The blue flamingo is known for its speed, much like a pot cake, and it's cunning, it's smart, it shifts shapes, it shape shifts just like the Chickchani.
I was just about to say that.
Yes, ma'am.
You're the Chickchani woman.
Yes, ma'am. Don't watch nothing, you a winner. Make sure our producer connect with her again just to double check that you've got all the information, the sand dollar wallet address, the sand dollar wallet provider, cell phone number, and your name.
Well, I'm going to need help to set up my sand dollar wallet.
I got you, ma'am. No problem. It may take a day, but we will ensure that you get your wallet set up and you get
your
$30. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you have a great day.
You have a great day, too.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Dear texters, first of all, conch is not the right answer, although I love it. Second of all, I was hoping somebody would have said not just flamingo, but the mosquito and the Royal Bahamian pot cake. I would have had an honorary mention for that. Okay, to my texters, I told y'all I need y'all to participate. I need you to give me your digital wallet address, your digital wallet provider, and your name and cell phone number. Only one person gave me some of the information, but they didn't answer the question. I'm loving it. You don't watch nothing. We're going to figure it out. I tell you why. Because Sandoll is committed to this giveaway promotion, and I'm committed to ensuring that we have equal and equitable access to the services that run this country. And banking, finance, commerce, central, and family islanders, people marginalized from mainstream economy, people who are unbanked or don't have bank accounts, they have to participate as well. And Sand Dollar is a mechanism we can use to attempt to ensure equal and equitable access. I got a text here that says, what happened to the buzzard from Andrus? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That is a type, I think that buzzard, you're right, it is a buzzard. It's not a vulture. Very, very interesting animal. So many different birds in Andrus. And so I keep telling y'all, sometimes we don't see the true potential, you know, or the value of this place. Bird watching, ecotourism, it's a major, major pillar, or can be, of our tourism product. First, should we not be told if we won rather than take time typing in that info with the answer? No, texter. Let me set the rules of the game. okay? You need to submit that info. That's how we doing it. That's how we doing it. So we have a winner by telephone. The competition is closed for today. On Tuesday, we pick it back up with two new giveaways for the week. In fact, Tuesday, we're going to have a really interesting show. We're going to have members of the Hannah Hasty Tynes Family Association in studio with us. We're having a history lesson. We're going down memory lane, and I got three basic questions, and one of them is why we can't find Jerry Roker in town. I need to know. Good morning, Mr. Sawyer.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, but how are you?
I'm well. I've been considering we were a 7th seed. We were at one point top 14 or 15 team. To make it to the conference finals, it's no small feat. We beat the defending champions on the way to get there by shutting them down at what they do best.
Mm-hmm. But would you have been able to do it if y'all didn't offer Westbrook as a blood sacrifice to the NBA gods?
Trust me, we would have never even made the play if we said that Westbrook. That's a guarantee.
Now let me ask you a question. Is that an indictment on Westbrook alone or on the Lakers coaching team that couldn't see what the missing elements were or what the problematic elements were on the team?
It's all because of the fact that Westbrook just didn't fit the system. He just didn't fit the Lakers system. And the Lakers system is predicated first and foremost on defense. Look at what AD did after the trade. He was arguably the best defensive player, even though he didn't win defensive player of the year. He's arguably the best defensive player in the league after the trade deadline. So our team played better because we were able to first stop the ball from the perimeter. Mm-hmm. And if you were able to get it inside to your big man to do your switching and your moving and your kickouts and whatnot, it was less in the shot clock. So you had less time to develop your play. So your play felt rushed. And if your play feels rushed, you're going to shoot rushed. And if you shoot rushed, 9 times out of 10, not everybody named Steph Curry, it's not going to go in.
Is that where the league has evolved, though, too? Like, when you said that, like, if you shoot rushed, right, it's a problem. I thought to myself, that's the whole game. Has the game become soft? Have the players become soft? Has Harden become the symbol of the new age of basketball? I ain't got to play as hard as y'all think I got to play. I's a star.
Right. Jordan said it best a few years ago, you know. Recently, he said it. He said that NBA players nowadays are paid based on potential.
Yeah.
As opposed to being paid based on what they've actually done in the league.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the league then and the league now. But the league now is all about offense. And the league now has a gather step. Instead of like 1-2 and you have to shoot before you put down the
third
foot.
Yeah, the next foot.
Yeah. No, you can take a third step now and gather yourself and then go up.
And they actually call it the gather step.
It's called the gather step.
Yeah, listen, now here's
the... gather yourself.
Dear gender critiques, somebody's going to call in and say, why are you talking about men like this? And if we're talking about women like this, listen, this is professional basketball.
Yeah.
When you're getting paid $48 million a year, that's all the time you need to gather yourself in the locker room before you hit the court.
Yeah, but the game had to speed up. They had to allow for Steph Curry to be able to fake the shot, take two steps, lean to the side with one more step, arch the shot up into the air 100 feet, and then it goes in. So, you know, to allow for the speed of the game to pick up, to allow for scoring to pick up. All right. Jordan won his last championship in 1998, all right?
Yeah.
Final score was 87-86.
Yeah.
Team score 87 and 86 points in the first half now.
But that's because they get to run with the ball.
Exactly. You have a gather step.
Can we protest? I mean, I like a good player strike, right? But can we, the spectators, protest and say, come on, man, give us some real basketball?
You can protest all you want, but the game has evolved now to this. I've seen players, you know, ball is inbounded, and the ball bounces, and the point guard don't pick up the ball. And then, you know, he goes to pick up the ball with two hands and the ball slips out his hand and then he just starts to dribble. That's considered broken dribble.
Yeah.
That's what it used to be.
Yeah, that's what it used to be.
That was the call. But we're not calling that anymore. We're not slowing the game down to call these nitpicky calls anymore. Only unless it's like really, really... Because right. I've seen Braun, I've seen Westbrook, I've seen Steph, Clay. They'll pick up the ball, you know, and walk three steps. Like, they're looking to pass the ball. And it's almost like if it gets to like five, six steps, then the refs call traveling.
Right, okay.
Other than that, they don't even call it.
And then on the flip side, when we get to the defensive side, right? It's like the refs are calling, they just waiting to call. It's like all of the calls they didn't make on the offensive side, mm-hmm. the dribbling, the broken dribble, that they ready to call it on the defensive side. Has yeah. this been that type of playoff season? Like, what's his name? Patrick Beverley?
Uh-huh.
My boy is hot all the time. And I sort of get it now. You call in fouls on things that really shouldn't be fouls.
Exactly. Exactly, because it puts a lot of pressure on the defense now to, one, do their best to stop the offensive team from scoring, and two, not to foul. And the second one is the hardest thing to do because everything now, you know, is a foul, like the hand checking.
How does that impact the charging call, right? Because I like that he's a defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
I get there before you get there. Mm-hmm. I've been planted. My 2 feet are planted for a second, two seconds before
once
you get there.
Once it's outside the circle. Right. Once it's outside the semicircle.
Bang.
Right.
So now you're telling me I could gather myself and take an extra step, an extra two steps. What does that do for that particular dynamic, that particular charging call? Because now I'm going to argue instance.
I could go around you. With the Euro step, now you can step to the left with that extra step.
But because with the charge now, you got it. It's like the charge works because you can't take any more steps.
Right.
That's how that defensive play works.
That's what it's supposed to be, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but fellas still take their gather step and run into the fella. Run into the defensive guy and...
See, this for me, this...
And end up with a charge.
This changes the entire perspective on the defensive call, the referee on the defensive end of the game and what they're doing. I have a whole team, a management team, that just focused on calls.
Mm-hmm.
What the refs are calling, mm-hmm. how they're calling it, and what leads up to that call. I if I was a Patrick Beverley, you could imagine if I was a Rodman in this day and age... I run hard all the time.
Yeah. Rodman is the best rebounder the NBA has ever seen. But the way he used to rebound, they'd call many an offensive foul on him now. They'd call many a loose ball foul on him now. Because the little things that he used to do, they just don't allow anymore.
So why didn't this fare in Anthony Davis's favor? What happened to Anthony Davis? Was he the missing link?
Anthony Davis was supposed to at least score 15 points in the third quarter of game four.
Yeah.
Braun gave us 31 points, man. And as a 38-year-old, I don't care what you try to tell me. Jordan was not as good as LeBron at 38. Kobe definitely wasn't as good as LeBron at 38.
Yeah.
You saw a 38-year-old man drop 31 points. Everything was spent. I watched the game. Yeah. Sat up next to one of my boys. I said, bruh, if that's all LeBron have, we lose.
Yeah.
We lose. Like he needed to score 50.
Yeah.
In the first half. Just for us to win by two.
But the point is this, is that the Lakers don't deserve the win if they have to rely on LeBron scoring 50 to win.
Exactly.
And there's no indictment on LeBron.
No, it's no indictment on LeBron. At this point in his career, like, I watched LeBron score 25 points in the fourth quarter in overtime in 2006, against the Boston Celtics. Yeah. I watched him do that. You know, like, he was that good. You know, but to score... 31?
Yeah.
31 and a half? Like, think about it. He scored in 17 minutes, he scored 25 points. It took him 24 minutes to score 31 points.
Yeah. You know?
And this is a full 12 years? What year is this? 2023? That was 17 years ago.
All right.
You know? Like, I don't know what more you want from him.
Yeah. No, but there's nothing...
Yeah, and
that's
and
the point.
Be honest,
there's nothing more... that you could demand from LeBron. Everything else is why is nobody else stepping up to LeBron's level of play. And you can't deny the Lakers would not have made it to the finals if they replace LeBron instead of Westbrook.
Oh, the Lakers don't even make the playoffs if they replace LeBron instead of Westbrook.
Yeah.
But to be honest, you know, and the Nuggets were just a better team. They were better, younger, stronger, faster.
Yeah.
Much like the Heat were in 2011 when they finally beat the Celtics.
Let's get to the Heat and the Celtics. What happened is my boy Butler, because Butler is a Bahamian and is a public holiday coming up. I'm sure he's taking a little break. What happened to the Heat over the last two games?
Boy, they come out of there playing like they know that they have the series wrapped up. They come out of there playing like they're the 96 Bulls, who had a 3-0 lead against the Sonics in the finals, and let the Sonics win the last two so they could win at home on Father's Day in 1996, because, you know, that was Jordan's first year back in the finals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and his father had died. His father was murdered. So, of course, Father's Day had been all poetic and whatnot. He won on Father's Day. I don't know if they don't realize that they're not the 96 Bulls.
Yeah.
I hope they realize that tomorrow's game is indeed a game 7.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah, they got to win it.
Because the Boston folklore, you know, and I put that in air quotes, they always blow out teams in a game 7 at home. It's very rare that Boston loses at home in a game 7.
All right. Now,
And Boston is a big market team. So is Miami. So you can't even look at it to say, oh, well, maybe they want the big market team to go over the small market team. Because we already have a small market team in Denver that's already in the finals. And those fellas are well-oiled, well-balanced, and have no ego.
Absolutely. Listen,
remind me of the 2004 Pistons.
I got to switch to local news now before we go. Celtics or Boston? Who can take it?
Celtics or who? Or the Heat?
Yeah, sorry, Celtics and Boston. Who could take it?
The Heat.
You sure?
The Heat should take it tomorrow night, yeah. Jimmy can scare them fellas into shape and say, hey, listen, this is our time now.
Because listen, I thought light-skinned brothers...
they beat us on our home court last year.
I'm going to say it. I thought light-skinned brothers had lost the entire NBA season. From Dylan Brooks to our boy Clay... Our boy Steph, this player in the Celtics who's talking bad to Jimmy Butler and causing Brad Williams. But it looks like the Celtics are still in it.
Yeah. The Celtics have a very good chance. If Miami comes out there and plays flat like they did last night, the game is over by the end of the first quarter, like last night.
Absolutely. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah. You know, all those numbers?
Yes.
Ain't waiting nothing. Except James can't seem to play team ball. Okay?
Okay.
He can lead a team.
Okay.
But he can't play team ball.
Okay? I got you.
It took Jordan six seasons to learn that.
To play team ball.
Team ball.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're right.
Team ball.
Yes, sir.
Who's playing team ball?
It also took Jordan getting Pippen to win a championship, but we don't want to go. But nobody ever wants to.
And Rodman to sustain it.
Team. If one man don't win nothing.
Finally somebody says it. Because the Jordan fanatics out there believe Jordan played 6 years all by himself and won the rings all by himself.
Jordan believed that.
No. He played 6 seasons, scoring all those high numbers.
Yes.
And didn't get to the finals.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, after he switched, he starts again.
Yeah.
Team.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, caller. Who you think's going to win? Who you think's going to make it to the finals? Boston or the Heat?
Probably Boston.
And who you think will win it overall?
Probably Boston.
I got you. Right. Good morning, Mr. Jace Brannon.
He sounded like
the number one Boston Celtics
fan. Listen, I don't want Jace call here. You know. Don't go on here if Boston miss and win. Because Jace, you ain't call all season. What happened last year, you ain't call all season, soldier. But I waiting on him here.
It's so exciting. Producer, start the
caller sound like a Boston fan, though.
Absolutely. Start the music to take us to a break. I got to read this one local news story before we transition into the next segment. Mr. Sawyer, I want to thank you. We didn't have a chance to talk NBA for so long.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks. You know, shout out to all the Warriors fans. I thought y'all were going to beat the King. 2016 happened. 2023 happened. And y'all were all and y'all were both fully healthy, so I don't want to hear no talk at all. Yeah, the team was different and blah 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 blah. Hey. Y'all were the defending champions in 2016 and 2023. And what happened? LeBron sent y'all home. The King sent y'all home. Banished y'all from whence you came.
Dear Clay Thompson, you still a Bahamian. Don't mind this talking in this madness. Anyway, we're talking about madness. Midnight Madness Fun Run Walk is set for Labor Day. The country's premier long-distance running club, Bahamas Roadmasters, founded in 1990, will continue its support of local charities when it stages its annual Midnight Madness 5K and 10K Fun Run Walk on Friday, June the 2nd. That's Labor Day. Part proceeds will go to the Bahamas Kidney Association. The start time is at 12:01 a.m. on the day of the Labor Day public holiday. And the end time is 12 noon at the end of the Hannah Hasty Tynes South out on Arawaki. So, Mr. Sawyer, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the 5K.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go sleep by Arawaki so I could be at the South out first thing in the morning.
Well, listen. But I'll do you one better. I'll meet you at the South South.
Oh, there you go.
Because I can do the 5K.
Yeah, there you go. Mr. Sawyer, thank you for joining me this morning.
Yeah, man.
After the break, I have representatives from RCI. I was talking about them this week.
Yeah.
And they do what responsible corporate partners do. They say, oh, you're talking about us? Let's talk. So I tell them, come on down. I got to end this week with a little conversation with them.
Did they bring good coffee?
This is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping they brought good coffee.
Yeah, man. It's some French vanilla.
And some snacks.
Yeah, hey, listen.
I love some cruise ship snacks.
Yeah, nothing wrong with some good crackers. You know?
Mr. Sawyer, thank you very much. Next week, we got more NBA playoff to talk. We got
finals MLB will be on
to talk. We got all NFL to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty things to talk.
Yeah, NFL warming up.
Have a great day. Enjoy
you
the
too.
Holiday
Have
weekend.
Have a great weekend, Mom.
And I can see you next week.
Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. We had a quick transition just now. I sort of made a promise because sometimes I throw very heavy critique on the table and I'm always pleased when those who I'm attempting to engage respond and we create space for dialogue. And so this morning I have Diane Phillips joining me with a representative from RCI.
Senior Vice President.
Diane, please introduce yourself and, sir, introduce yourself to the audience.
My name is Diane Phillips, and I'm very, very honored and proud to represent Royal Caribbean International.
Absolutely.
Jay Schneider, I'm the Senior Vice President, right, Chief Product Innovation Officer for Royal Caribbean International.
Absolutely. And so earlier this week, I was doing some research preparation for the June 8th consultation, and I was unable to find the environmental impact assessment document online. I just, me, unable to find it in my search. And so when I asked the question, Diane said, listen, give us a little space and we'll come in and we'll answer those questions for you. Very brief questions I have today. tell the audience how to find the EIA.
Yep, I got it. So it's been posted on our website since July of 2021.
Okay.
So it's at www.royalbeachclubparadiseisland.com. You'll be able to find the environmental impact assessment there. You'll also be able to find our recently published public consultation report.
Yes.
Which is it's two parts to it. It's roughly a 60-page document with 120 questions that were asked by the public that go into great detail beyond the EIA on additional information about both the economic and environmental benefits of the project.
Absolutely. So you guys, you can go online and you can search Royal Caribbean.
It's Royal Beach Club, ParadiseIsland.com.
Right. And you can also, you can find the PCR on that website as well.
It's been on that website. Yep, it's there.
Absolutely. It's an extensive document, guys. It's easy to read. It's well laid out. And so in the question and answer section, where they have gathered questions from various consultative processes, like town hall meetings, like online submission spaces, and they've answered the question. So what they do is they lay out the question that was asked, and then the response to the question is immediately below it.
That's right.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, now, the EIA is available for consultation, you know, for review to participate in the consultative process that's going to take place on June 8th. Who are you going to have at the table to respond to questions raised at that consultative process?
We'll have a panel. I'll be there.
Okay.
As well as we'll have our corporate environmental team there, as well as our local Bahamian environmental consultants. We have three or four of them who've been partnering with us for years. That will be there as well to answer questions, and they each have different types of expertise.
All right.
As well as we'll have our beach consultant as well, and so we'll all be there to answer questions ad nauseum.
All right. Another question, Mr. Nure, I let you ask that question. The environmental management plan.
Yep.
Right. In the public consultative report, consultation report, you indicate that you have six major initiatives, right?
Yes.
It's the zero waste to landfill.
Correct.
100% renewable energy production by 2030. Best in class
waste treatment,
which you also have been working on similar projects in other jurisdictions, right?
Yep.
No dredging. Protecting and enhancing the surrounding habitats and local environmental monitoring during construction and operation.
Yep.
Where can we learn more about those particular initiatives? Especially for young environmentalists who want to begin building capacity so that they can support the work that you're doing, whether as a part of the company or as an NGO or private sector element partnering with the company?
So the public consultation report goes into greater detail because people asked, as you'd expect, legitimate questions about, okay, great, you're going to have world-class waste treatment facility. What does that actually mean? And so in there, one of the questions asked and raised goes into great detail on what will make up the wet waste management facility, so the waste, essentially the waste treatment plant. And so that detail is in there. And then part of the purpose of the public, the supplemental public forum on June 8th is to ask additional questions so that we can keep going into greater levels of detail.
Mm-hmm.
So the process, there's been a lot of speculation on how we're following the process, but we're following the exact process laid out by the government. As we go through the public consultation period, at the end of that consultation period, we then post a EMP or an environmental management plan that will then have its own public scrutiny. And so we're moving through that process. I've seen in the media, people are demanding more and more answers. And the reality is we're following the process perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will keep answering questions as we go and adjusting our plans as we hear legitimate concerns. One of the concerns raised was, you know, there's a lot of, already a lot of traffic. So are we going to have in the harbor and around the island, are we going to have more and more jet skis added. And we said, no, we'll commit to no, if that's the legitimate concern, we'll commit to no motorized water sports. So we won't have jet skis, if that's really a concern. And so as we go through this process, we are actively listening to the dialogue and the questions that people have. And when you look at, and you mentioned, and I appreciate you mentioning, that we'll have local environmental monitoring, we're taking that environmental monitoring further. So yes, there will be, as there needs to be, environmental monitoring during construction and eventual operation.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to post a publicly available scorecard that will evaluate us against our environmental management plan, the six principles that you just mentioned, as well as certify that we aren't putting, we've committed to zero waste to landfill. We want public certification that we're not doing that. And so as we think of that sort of publicly available scorecard, one of the questions that I often get or have is, as you look around the Bahamas, where else can you find that level of environmental transparency? And mm-hmm. It's a legitimate question. I'm not asking it to be provocative. Where do you go to find the environmental record of any major corporation? And if they have that level of public transparency, point me there, because we'd love to go even further than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look forward to the discourse that we know we'll have on June 8th and in the coming months after that.
Is there a listening mechanism for the environmentalists? Is there a space that I can now plug into to connect to the discourse between the formal environmentalist community and RCI? Also, we talk about the scorecard. Have you, or has anyone, and Diane, spoken to the Ministry of Environment and Natural Resources about sort of codifying this process and creating a model or a standard for FDI engagement in terms of environmental impact?
We are following the process as it's laid out now. As the law continues to change, we adapt accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
We look at both our economic and our environmental commitments that we've made, and we're going to continue to encourage the government to use that as a model.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at our development, 49% of the equity of the beach club will be made available to Bahamians. And that's a great economic model. So it's not about just jobs. Of course, there'll be Bahamian jobs. It's we want the eventual beach club to partner with local providers to provide all of the services necessary to run the operation. That's a great way to keep profits in the Bahamas, because it's employment, right? Everybody mm-hmm. does that. We want that. The reality is, we're one of the only tourism entities than ever offer up equity in the development of its operation
mm-hmm.
to be able to truly keep profit in the Bahamas as well. And so those are examples, and they came from Deputy Prime Minister Cooper as an idea that we happily agreed to,
mm-hmm.
that we're actually now taking to other governments around the Caribbean as we do other development, to say, listen, one of the great things happening in the Bahamas to keep really profits localized is this development model. Let's try it here as well. And it's been an eye-opening experience with those governments, because they weren't really thinking about ways companies like us could really create that maximum participation with locals.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things I'd like to correct, if I could. There's some noise in the marketplace about, oh, it must be approved fully because they're already hiring. Pardon me, the recruitment office opened about a week and a half ago, but that's not for Royal Beach Club. It would be way too early to try to offer somebody a job when we're a year and a half away.
I'm ready. Don't say it's too early. I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah, all right, Aaron. I'll get your number.
Yes, ma'am.
But at any rate, that recruitment office is just for ongoing recruitment for Coco Key and the expansion of part of that project. And then on board ships, because Royal Caribbean has 26 ships. And we're seeing more and more Bahamians enjoying jobs. In fact, there's a man connected with the Dames family right here from Nassau Guardian, who is now the highest ranking Bahamian Bahamian on a large cruise ship, highest ranking Bahamian in the world, Renaud Mancour. And he is a first officer. So he's first in line for one day being a Bahamian captain of a major cruise ship.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to clarify the thing about the recruitment office. It is not for Royal Beach Club. And then historically, just a brief comment about when the conversation first started about a project on Paradise Island, the year was 2017. We did not even have the kind of legislation that we have now, that DEP operates by. We didn't have DEP. So this has come actually in an ideal time. There's never been more strict regulations in terms of what's required when you build. Mm-hmm. And Royal Caribbean couldn't be a better partner because they're leading not only in innovation and in economic impact, but in what they're doing environmentally standard-wise in other places. Just built this huge cruise terminal in Galveston, Texas. First one in the world. Royal Caribbean, all solar powered.
Nice, very nice. So, Mr. Newry, we want to talk about the Yes Foundation, right? I am selfish. I want y'all to help me. Help me educate my people so that they can best support what it is we are doing together. I want you to educate my people so that they can support your work and your environmental concerns, right, and your stewardship. But you're telling me now that I am sharing in the equity of this thing, so I'm making the profits. I still want to come to you and say, hey, let's work together. Is RCI, in its entire global operations, are you investing in academies and mechanisms to support the capacity building and training of your staff across the globe and then create opportunities for those who may be providing auxiliary services in all of these jurisdictions?
Let me just answer part of that.
Am I going to pay for it out of my 49%, are we paying for it out of the 2%?
If people in the Bahamas realized how much RCI has already invested in the Small Business Development Center, now in the Tourism Development Corporation, in training, in STEM, I mean, I don't know if I'm permitted to say the amount, $450,000 in the STEM program, and that's to teach the teachers how to teach the students everything to do with environmental management, science, technology, environment, and mathematics. So with
training the trainers,
yeah. And with other programs. So invested constantly, not just with Bahamas Feeding Network and Agricultural Development Organization, which we should get you involved in, Aaron. I love your nom de plume.
My Chikchani teas and anyway,
revolutionary farmer.
There you go. I got one idea because I'm full of markets this weekend.
And the Bahamas Maritime Academy as well.
Yes.
Think of that as an example of, and you mentioned the first officer, but the idea is to continue to build a training program so we can get more and more Bahamians mm-hmm. Onto our ships into senior leadership roles.
Absolutely.
And the LJM Academy as well.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so now the 2%, RCI keeps 49, Bahamian people get 49.
Nope, no. RCI owns 51.
Okay, RCI owns 51. Okay.
Yes. No, let's get the facts out there.
Yeah.
RCI owns 51.
Uh-huh.
49, up to 49% will be available for Bahamians.
Ah.
That up to is made up of two parts.
Okay.
Part one is the sovereign wealth fund, the Bahamian
they're creating now, the blue carbon credits will go into.
For the government, uh-huh. We'll get an allocation that we will pay for, essentially, through the valuation of the 4 acres of crown land that the government is contributing.
Okay.
Let's call that rough. We don't know that. We're going through the valuation process. Let's call that 6%. I'm making that up. Mm-hmm. So hopefully nobody in the government's listening and holds me to that.
Yeah.
The delta, let's call that 43%, if you do the math,
yeah,
would be available through an equity fund that Bahamians would be able to take advantage of.
Okay.
And we say up to because we have no idea. Like, we think there's going to be massive interest. It's going to be a great product. And so I was listening. I was doing radio this morning with Dwight, and somebody asked if they could invest in the cruise port. And I almost jumped in and said, no, but hopefully you'll be able to invest in the beach club soon, because that's an opportunity for people to, individuals, Bahamians, to invest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And but as soon
the
as 2%,
we... I know the, in yeah, addition, yeah. just to keep piling on, we also agreed to a 1% levy of all profits to go to a new tourism fund to develop other attractions around New Providence.
Hopefully downtown, historic Nassau.
So we don't know what that 1% will eventually realize from a total cash perspective,
mm-hmm.
but it's 1% of total gross profits will go to a new tourism fund to develop other things outside of us in and around the Bahamas.
I know that the priority for Antiquities right now, Antiquities Monuments Museums Corporation, is the Queen's Staircase. And that is one of the most beautiful sites in, mm-hmm. in the Bahamas. So I'm hoping that funds from this new fund will actually help go to fixing up some of the historic sites and making them more accessible, putting up historic signage that's correct, and fixing some of the low-hanging fruit in downtown Nassau before we create a plan for the entire revitalization.
All right. I see your question, but I don't understand it. I'm a bit of a novice in this area. Cecil, you read that and see if you can ask that question. For me... Diane, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, one thing we haven't touched on is that the property will always be open to Bahamians to enjoy at a lower rate, a lower fee than the cruise passenger will actually pay who buys the trip.
So I can go, I don't have to be on the cruise to be able to experience right. this island.
That's right.
Just remember these words, owned, operated, and enjoyed by Bahamians, the Royal Beach Club.
Seems like we're setting a precedent, and hopefully this can be a model that we can expound and expand upon in the future. I'm excited. I'll be honest with you, I'm about to start a rumor about the pirate treasure buried on the end of Paradise Island, see if I could drive the value of that land up a little bit in the interest of the Bahamian people.
There you go.
But like please that. Remind the Bahamian people where they can go to find information about RCI and to keep up to date on all of the...
RoyalBeachClubParadiseIsland.com. We will keep updating it with environmental studies, with public consultation reports. We'll produce another report out of the June 8th hearing that's coming up. We'll continue to... One of the things we're about to post, there's a lot of misconception about right. the project, so we're going to keep posting information right. there. One of the big things of misconception is that we are destroying pristine land. So one of the things we're about to post is a photo gallery of what the land actually looks like, because I don't know that the average Bahamian knows what it actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And we have great photos of what actually people will see when they go experience the property.
Yeah.
And it's really sad, the state of the 17 acres. Because it's in significant disrepair. So we're going to post all of that publicly so that as people say, we're destroying pristine land, we can post them to the photos of the actual property, because that's what millions of passengers see when they come in to Nassau Harbor every day mm-hmm. is a massive site in disrepair. That's the first impression you actually get of Nassau. You get three first impressions of Nassau. One, you get the lighthouse, which is in disrepair and desperately needs to be rehabbed. Number two, you see houses falling into the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, you now see an amazingly revitalized cruise port. And so we hope that we'll be able to revitalize the 17 acres of Paradise Island.
I want to thank you for shining a spotlight on the matters that we couldn't see within the discussion. I can't let you leave, though, without begging you. I beg you, create a media space, a YouTube channel, partner with a local production company, create a regular media space, not just to talk about what's going on with the Paradise Island Beach Club project, not just to talk about what's going on with RCI, but also to create a culture of appreciation for all of the elements that go into building a multinational, multi-corporate project like this. Absolutely.
It's a really good idea to do it locally. The new ship that Royal Caribbean is building is Icon. It's the world's largest cruise ship. And I think that there are something like 1 million followers who are watching this live as the ship is being built. So there's great interest in that. And it's a super idea to do something like that locally. So,
well, and I hate to get the plug in, but we're about 2 weeks away from announcing Utopia of the Seas, which will actually be one, part of our Bahamian program. So Utopia, which will be the next in the Oasis class, which is currently the largest class, will be doing a program where she'll visit NASA twice a week.
Don't send the ship unless it's large enough to put all of Rumkey on it, please. We shooting for the top. Producer, play that music for me. As we go, because I think we got a lead into Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Newry, for your patience this morning. But I'm serious, sir. This is Schneider. Don't send the ship unless it's as big as Rumkey. Unless we could be shooting big.
Yeah.
Going to the stars.
And Rumkey has got to be one of those beautiful islands in the entire world. That great big rock with the water shining through and everything. You've got to see it, Jay.
I've seen Rumkey. You mean as big as land-wise or as big as people-wise? Because Utopia will bring 9,900 people to NASA on one ship.
And remember that the water tax...
Say that number again.
9,900.
That's all my cousins big. Come in one time. Come. We're waiting for you.
You do have big family.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Hannah Hasty Times. Don't forget it. Meet us at the Labor Day South out at Arawaki after you march for other Bahamians. Support each other. Come have some fun. Anyway, Diane Phillips, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Murray, thank you. Mrs. Schneider, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Thank you for answering the call, even though it was a bit rough in the wilderness. Have a great day, Bahamas. C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next.